When you woke up this morning, you could have chosen to do any number of things today. But one of the things that you chose to do today was to come to Mass. Now, I don't think anybody followed you out of the house with a gun to your head, right? So I'm pretty sure that almost every single one of you here is here because you want to be here, at least at some level. But why? Now, I'm sure that someone really pious among you could say, well, because the third commandment says that we should keep the Sabbath day holy, and we do that by coming to Mass. That's true, and it's important. But have you ever stopped to think that at some level, you know that there is something you're going to get here within these walls that you will not get anywhere else? There's something more than anything else that you want. I mean, really want. And if coming to church didn't have anything to do with it, then you would have used your free will to do something else. I remember my mom and my dad is here with us tonight, you know, telling me over and over again when I was little, I just want you to be happy. Okay, Dad, do you remember telling me that? So, back there. I can't imagine anyone looking at their child, unless they were really kind of sick, and not saying, I want you to be happy. I think all of us want to be truly, deeply, maddeningly happy, joyful, and content. But then we look at our life as it stands right now. Are there things that we can point to and say, yep, those things, they make me happy? And then we can point to other things and say, that not so much. And all of us, there is a sense that there is more happiness to be had out there somewhere. But where are we going to find it? How do we become truly happy? And we can even talk about trying to find true happiness when sometimes it's all we can do to just get through the day. Or when we look around and see so much suffering and disease and violence. I mean, do I even have a right to talk about being happy when there's so many others who aren't? One of the ancient church fathers, Irenaeus, who lived in the 3rd century in France, used to say, "The glory of God is man alive." You know what gives glory to God? To see you happy. Sometimes I think we forget all too easily that each one of us is willed by God. He didn't have to create us, but He did. And He did so for no other reason than His glory. Each man, woman, and child is made in the image and likeness of God. The tragedy of sin is not that we broke some rule made by the big guy upstairs, but that we've fallen short of our dignity as image and likeness of God. It's so easy from the outside to see the church as just a bunch of rules and regulations. But in essence, all of those things are nothing more than spiritual disciplines which call us back to be the original image and likeness of God that we so easily lose sight of. The church is full of the lives of heroic men and women who changed the world because they were living images of God in the world. John Paul II, Francis of Assisi, Mother Teresa, you can name them on and on. But, you know, we can look at them and say, well, you know, they were saints, so of course they did all this amazing stuff. Me, I'm no saint. That is nonsense. What word does St. Paul call the recipients of his letters to the newly planted churches? Saints. To the church of God, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together, who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the church of God in Taylors. Okay, so he wrote to the Corinthians, but why couldn't he have said Taylors? Okay, same principle. Every one of you, when you became a child of God and an heir to heaven at the baptismal font, every one of you became a saint. And if your halo doesn't seem to be glowing quite as much as it was on the day of your baptism, okay, it doesn't mean that it's not there. It means that we have to find those spiritual disciplines which will polish it up. In business language, we talk about the 80-20 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 20% of the customers provide 80% of the business. And statistics of all kinds tend to bear out the truth of this rule. Except in one place. By now you know that today I am starting a sermon series based on Matthew Kelly's book, The Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic. Some of you will get a copy today, and I'm asking each one of you who gets a copy to read it as a gift from your parish family. In this book, Kelly points out that in the Catholic Church, the 80-20 principle is not even close. 6.4% of registered parishioners contribute 80% of the volunteer hours in a parish. 6.8% donate 80% of the financial contributions. And there's an 84% overlap between the two groups. So basically, okay, 7% of Catholic parishioners are doing almost everything in their faith community and paying almost entirely for the maintenance and mission of the parish. Now, when you hear that, you may think, wow, that's not exactly very encouraging, is it? Well, not necessarily. Think about what those 7% of Catholics do in this country every day. To feed the hungry, educate children, preach the gospel, and clothe the naked. The Catholic Church is the largest charitable organization on earth, and we're doing it on 7%. If you want to know how we can end world hunger, put a stop to violence, and build the kingdom of God, then think what would happen if we mobilize even a little bit of that 93%. What Matthew Kelly has done in this very accessible book is identify 264 behaviors that mark the difference between 7 and 93. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't count that high, okay? I get kind of, you know, vertigo thinking about all those things. So he has done me at least a favor in grouping them around four signs which mark out a dynamic Catholic from a disengaged one. Number one, prayer. Number two, study. Number three, generosity. And number four, evangelization. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to go through each one. Now, I'm not going to give a book report on each one of the four signs. Okay, I want you to actually read the book. I will give my personal reflections each week on how I see each sign lived in the life of a dynamic Catholic. And the last week, we'll talk about how when Catholics move out of the 93%, how they make a dynamic parish. Okay, so you may be thinking, okay, so Father, why are you doing this? Okay. And why are you doing it now? Well, remember that when I became a Catholic, I was attracted to the church because of what we believe and how we pray. And you know, I love talking about those things. Okay, what we believe and how we pray. I bring that experience with me to my preaching all the time. But in retrospect, why even talk about what we believe and how we pray unless we know how we can achieve happiness? Only then can we see how what we believe and how we pray is related to our ultimate happiness. You know, I get up every morning and come to Prince of Peace because I know that we have a community of saints. Some of us are part of the 7%, and I love you guys. Okay? And some of us, and I love you too, don't worry, are still part of the 93%. Okay? And if it is not obvious by now, I am bound and determined to change that. Now, that change is not something any human leadership can do. That requires some serious Holy Ghost power. But we can prepare our hearts as individuals, as families, and as a parish to receive that Pentecostal transformation. Kelly uses the term signs that point to how we can achieve that happiness. I like to use the more classical term spiritual disciplines. Now, I know that some of you don't really like that word because you see an angry nun leering over at you, beating you with a ruler, okay? Sometimes I preach to you conversion of heart and changing your way of life. And what some of you are hearing is blah, 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 rules, rules, rules. Sometimes I speak out against certain things. And what some of you may understand is that I'm a killjoy bent on making you miserable. Okay? Nothing could be further from the truth. But just as there are some business practices which make the difference between success and failure, there are certain spiritual disciplines that make the difference between our being happy and failing. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, we read, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The peaceful fruit of righteousness is true happiness. And if we're going to be trained for that, we need to know the signs. And for the next few weeks at Holy Mass here at Prince of Peace, let's start getting to know what those signs are.